অথবা কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা তীরাবন চারি যমুনা তীরাবন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে হরে হরি বলো হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে হরে গোবিন্দ জয় জয় গোপাল জয় জয় রাধা রমণ হরি গোবিন্দ জয় জয় শ্রী রাধা রমণ হরি গোবিন্দ জয় জয় হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। जय राधा कुंज बिहारी राधा कुंज बिहारी राधे। जय राधा कुंज बिहारी राधा कुंज बिहारी राधे। जय जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय। निताई गौर हरिबोल 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 गौर हरिबोल।
श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी भगवान की, श्री श्री गौरनिताई की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। सो वी विल चैंट द प्रेयर्स। यस ओके।
हरे कृष्णा। सो दिस वंडरफुल मॉर्निंग वी वुड लाइक टू वेलकम यू ऑल फॉर दिस Folk Sunday Feast program, and we also have great fortune of having His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhuji with us today for this folk session. So although Vishwaroop Prabhuji is world renowned in the whole Vishwa, you know, whole ISKCON Vishwa as well as outside world, but still, since he is formally giving, you know, this association for the folk devotees for the first time, I would like to give a very brief introduction before we would like to begin. So, Vishwaroop Prabhuji, most of us have, I'm sure, fond memories of him, seeing him leading nectarine kirtans in yatras, Radha Gopinath yatras. Or some of us might have seen him on Star Plus TV giving this Bhagavad Gita discourses. But very few might know that Vishwaroop Prabhuji is one of the core founding member of Radha Gopinath Bhakta Samaj, the congregation. He is MBBS doctor by profession, and he is deputy director of Bhakti Vedanta Hospital in Mira Road, as well as deputy director of Bhakti Vedanta Hospice in Vrindavan. And also there is Barsana Hospital coming up, Bhakti Vedanta Hospital, in a year's time. So he's the leading person. But having said that, this only talks, tip of his, devotional achievements. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And even before he finished his MBBS, he got his first initiation from Maharaj back in 1984. So it's 1986. So almost, more than two decades. So Prabhuji, since then, and I would like to share you one thing. In Pune, we have this youth preaching flavor. So we are very fortunate to have Prabhuji today with us, who had, preached in his youth. Right in the college, even before he finished his course, he made so many devotees. And he had been actively involved in Krishna conscious preaching right from his college days. And very likes of, devotees whom we have heard, Dwarkadish Prabhu, Akrur Prabhu, and many other. In fact, almost all the doctors of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Prabhuji has been instrumental in getting them into Krishna consciousness. He has inspired them to come into Krishna consciousness. And in fact, he was also, I think he was one of the first congregation members to get married in the Gopinath congregation to His Grace Vrajeshwari Mataji. So they were one of the first couples. So you can say, the congregation beginning. And since then, Prabhuji has been doing magnanimous services for Krishna consciousness. In my view, and as I was sharing with devotees, he has been the excellent example how if one surrenders to Guru's instruction and if he gives wholehearted participation, then he can achieve wonders. So it's no wonder that such magnanimous projects like Bhaktivedanta Hospital, which is a world-renowned project, and Bhaktivedanta Hospice, and so many projects have wonderfully coming up, have been there to serve devotees. He also heads a special department of spiritual care within the hospital. So he takes counseling sessions for doctors as well as patients. I was told there are two weekly programs he organizes every week for inmates as well as, doctors and patients. So many doctors have got inspired, the Karmi doctors have inspired to become devotees with his association. Although we talk about his achievements in terms of medical field and services, we all know that if you peep into his heart, he is a hardcore Vrajavasi. And this is, I have heard from Maharaj himself, Radhanath Maharaj. In his short stay in Vrindavan, practically he has befriended all the Vrajavasis. Most of the prominent Vrajavasis know him personally and he knows them. So in heart of hearts, he is a true Vrajavasi. When he finished his college days along with the friends, they started on Maharaj's instructions. They started this free of cost clinics in Palghar and many other places. And that became the foundation for the later on this, very famous project of this Barsana Eye Camp. Now we cannot forget this while we are introducing this. So for more than two decades, this wonderful service of Vrajavasis, practically they do hundreds of surgeries, eye surgeries, almost free of cost for all the Vrajavasis. And that has been inspiring many, many doctors and devotees. So he has been heading that from front. Not only that, even other projects like, this Bhuj earthquake and Latur earthquake, tsunami. Whenever these natural calamities come, His Grace Vishwarup Prabhu is right there, leading from the front with all the devotees, doctors, and serving the humanity in its true sense. And this has been, recognized by Government of India, Government of Uttar Pradesh. There have been many, many awards. The list is endless. So, hearing from Prabhuji is, one more advantage of that is when we hear devotees such from, Prabhuji or Krishna Chandra Prabhu, these devotees have spent so much personal time with Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that when you hear from them, practically you feel that you are associating with Guru Maharaj himself. So that is the advantage what we are going to gain today. And out of his busy schedule, he has taken out some time. For last 2 days, he has been in Pune giving back-to-back classes. Morning, he gave wonderful Bhagavatam class also. And now he is right here addressing folk devotees. So we are very, very fortunate today to his to have His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhu ji with us. So apart from katha, we would also look forward to have him lead Nectarine Kirtans at the end of the lecture, and we'll also would hope to have time, enough time for question answers full of realizations. So without taking much more time, let us welcome His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhuji with our heart of our heart, core of our hearts, with our traditional Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So we chant the verses together or follow up, following? No. So you can say, Namo kinchana vittaya nivrutta gunavrittaye Atma Ramaya Santaya Kaivalya Pataye Namaha. Everybody please, together. Manyetvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yan mithakali navedakashid bhagavam chikirshitam taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam nayasya kashid daitosti karhichit Dveshyastha yasmin vishama matirnrinam Janma karma cha vishvatman Ajasya karturatmanaha Tiryan rishi suyadashu Tad atyanta vidambanam Gopyadadadit Gopyad Please lead Gopyadadit vaikritagasi dhamatavad Yate dashasru kalanjana sambra Maksham Vaktram niniya bhava bhavanayastitasya shayam vimohati bhirapi yad vibheti kechidahur ajam jatam punyaslokasya kritaya yado priyasya anave malayasya vachandanam apare vasudevasya devakyam yachito bhyagat ajastvam asya khemaya vadhaya chasuradvisham Bharavatar Vatarana Yanye Bhuvo Nava Ivo Dadhau Siddhyanti Bhuri Bharena Jatohi Atma Bhuvidartha Jatohi Atma Bhuvarthitaha Bhavesmin Klishyamananam Avidya Kama Karma Bhi Shravanasmaranab Arahani Karishyam Karishyan Iti Kechana. So today's verse we'll repeat again. Navedakashchit Bhagavam Chikirshitam Taveha Manasya Nirnam Vidambanam Nayasya Kashchit Daitosti Karhichit Dveshyasya yasmin vishamam matirnrinam. We don't have Bhagavatam here. We could have read the translation. Or maybe you can give that. Yeah. Vin Kunti. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today is 22nd of April, Sunday. We are together in the folk program. The translation of this particular verse from 1st Canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 29. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so far misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Please repeat after me. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. The chapter entitled Bewildering Pastimes. So, you would like to have the book back? You can take the book back. I don't need it. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a wonderful literature that it gives us a glimpse in the lives of so many wonderful devotees. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ends at the point of surrender and Srimad Bhagavatam begins at the point of surrender and goes into in-depth description of those devotees who have surrendered their lives to Krishna. That means it is the activities described in Bhagavatam of those devotees who have led their lives in the lotus feet of Krishna. And Kunti Devi is one of the foremost of Vaishnavis, one of the choicest and fewest of all lady devotees of Krishna, apart from Draupadi and others. So we can see that the background is like this, that there was a king called Devamida, who had two sons. One was Parjanya and another was Shurasena. And Parjanya lived in Mahavan, Brahadvan, in Brajbhumi. Very pious and very virtuous and wonderful qualities which were glorified on all over the universe. He gave birth to five Nandas, Upananda, Mahananda, Nanda and Abhinanda and Nandan. And Shurasen gave birth to one daughter whose name was Pritha. And later on he gave birth to Vasudev, who became the father of Krishna. Shurasen and Kunti Bhoj were the two kings. And one more important understanding is that Devamida had two wives. One of them was Kshatriya wife who gave birth to Shurasena. And the Vaishya wife gave birth to Parjanya. So Parjanya became a coward boy. He became the Gopal in Brajbhumi. And Surasen became a Kshatriya king of Mathura province. And Kunti Bhoja and Surasen were very good friends. Kunti Bhoja did not have children. So when both of them did not have children, at that time Surasena promised that my first offspring I will give it to you in gift. So thus when his daughter was born, was named as Pritha, were given as in adoption to Kunti Bhoja. And Kunti Bhoja, because he sheltered and nurtured and cultivated the childhood of Pritha, her name became Kunti. And that is what we are talking about. This Kunti Devi is actually the fostered daughter of Kunti Bhoja and the real daughter of Surasena. Later on, Surasena gave birth to Vasudev. And then Vasudev got married with Devaki and 18 other queens. And Devaki gave birth to 6 children killed by Kamsa, 7th Balram and 8th is Krishna. This is the background of the family of Kunti. So Krishna was the nephew of Kunti Devi. Kunti's brother Vasudev, Vasudev's son Krishna. And Kunti was a very, very devoted child, full of good qualities, very, very precious qualities which are glorified all over the universe. And she was specifically trained to treat and serve the Vaishnavas coming home at King Kunti Bhoja's house. There was a tradition in the old kingdoms that the Rajakanyas would go and serve the sadhus and thus get blessings and thus get a good husband in the course of time. And to do blessings, can we just have the silence here, please? So Durvasa Muni came at the home of Kunti Bhoja. And, you know, Durvasa Muni performs very severe austerities. He is Anshavatar of Lord Shiva. Easily pleased like Lord Shiva and easily angered like Lord Shiva. Very famous for giving variety of dangerous curses. Very, very scared of Durvasa Muni. This reminds me, I'll just tell you, a little off the bit. Durvasa Muni also came in Vrindavan, in Barsana, at the banks of Ghevar Kund. And Radharani was playing with all her sakis. And they were playing house game, you know. House game means somebody becomes father, mother, sisters, daughters and children and all. And whatever ingredients they were utilizing, Hare Krishna. The ingredients, all of them were the dust at the banks of Ghevar Kund. The pots were made of the dust, dirt, earth, and the rice and sabjis and mevas and spices, all was the Braj Raj. And they were fully engrossed in playing the game. And at that time, Durvasa Muni came. And as soon as Durvasa Muni came, the girls were also assisting Radharani, and she was actually the main cook. And she was cooking a variety of items of the Braj Raj. And at that moment when Durvasa Muni came, fresh, fragrant, tasty rice kheer was being made of the Braj Raj. So all the girls said, "Oh Muniji, please come. Please have the kheer." So Durvasa Muni got very angry because see, he saw that everything was dust only. Everything was all Braj Raj. So what do you think myself to be? You're making fun of me? I'll burn all of you to ashes. So they all ran away. And they came to Radharani. And Radharani also got scared. She also ran away. And she went to Bhanu Mahal and met Mother Kirtida. And Kirtida knew that, you know, if there's some mischief takes place here, then we'll get a big curse from Durvasa Muni. So she herself came down, holding the hand of Radharani, and met Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni was very angry. He said that they are offering me dirt. So Radharani said very sweetly, "Oh Muniji, I have made a beautiful kheer. Why don't you just taste the kheer? It's very tasty." Radharani has a very wonderful quality of Madhur Bhashini, Sammohini Bhashini. That means when she speaks, it's very mesmerizing, you know. So when she said this, when the girl said this, he got angry. When she said this, he just took the kheer. Pot made of Brajraj and kheer made of Brajraj only. And started eating it. And when he ate, he had the feelings of relishing and tasting the divine celestial kheer. And not only he enjoyed the wonderful taste, tears came out of his eyes. Hair stood on his end. He got choked up at throat. He was trembling with spiritual bliss. And he was so happy. All his anger ran away. And he said, I bless you, Radharani. That whatever you will cook will become more tasty than nectar, amrita. And whoever will eat it, that personality will become free from all diseases. And he will become all victorious ever after. So Durvasa Muni came to Braj Bhumi also. But there, because Braj Bhumi is endowed with sweetness, madhurya, he also became madhur there. From his krodha, everywhere he is known for his cursings. Here he gave benedictions. But also he is known for benedictions, not that he is only cursing. But you know, the world always remembers negative things. The world do not remember positive things. And devotees are supposed to be positive in their approach. So I thought I'll tell you the story of Braj Bhumi about the positive blessings that Braj Bhumi, Durvasa Muni gave. So he came to Kunti Puja's palace and Kunti was put to take care of him. And she was day and night serving him. You know, at times when the sadhus come home, it's not so easy to serve them. You know, they will be awake whole night and they will be taking rest in between, and the caretaker will never get chance to eat at normal times and sleep at normal times and do things at normal times. It just many days you go hungry, you go on fasting and you don't get to sleep. And Durvasa Muni was doing a yagya or a vrat to conquer the Pancha Mahabhutas. Not ordinary tapasya. And that he was performing in Kunti Puja's palace. And after many, 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 many months of austere and serious and intense tapasya and vrata, whatever he was doing, he could get control over the Pancha Mahabhutas. At that time, he first time saw who is serving him. In that time, he didn't even notice who was serving him. Although all the ingredients, all the things, everything needed for the yagyas and anushtan and tapasya, everything was available on the spot and provided to him. He didn't even notice who was doing that. First time after completing his anushtan, he saw, he glanced at Kunti. And he said, "Come, I want to give you 5 mantras by which you can call any demigod of your choice at any time." And immediately, before even she came to know what's happening, he just uttered the mantras and she accepted the mantras. And she was a small girl that time. And then Durvasa Muni went away from their house, very happy, very blissful, very gave a lot of benedictions to the king also. And he went away. Later on, Kunti grew up a little bit. She became young. And one day she was looking at the sun. All of us look at the sun. We see a shining globe in the sky. We can't even see for a long time. Our eyes become, we get blackouts. So Kunti that day did not see sun globe. She saw Vivaswan, Surya Bhagwan, the personality of Surya within the sun globe. Very effulgent, very powerful, very shining, full of teja. And she got attracted to that personality. She felt, why not invite him? Why not call him? Why not try the mantra? Let us see whether the mantra is working or not. Out of curiosity. So she chanted the mantra. And lo and behold, Instantly, Surya Dev Vivaswan appeared there with a chariot of 1,000 horses. He was so effulgent, so powerful, she couldn't even see him. He was so powerful. The same Surya Dev, when he was married with Usha Devi, Usha Devi also could not see him, could not tolerate his effulgence. And when they united, she was so fearful. So Surya Dev said, a son will be born of our union and the world will be fearful of him and his name will be Yamaraj. So Usha Devi was very, very sad, you know. I made a mistake. He's my husband actually. By nature he is effulgent. I should be able to accept the things as they are. So next time she served him very nicely without getting fearful or without getting, you know, too much overwhelmed. And at that time sun god said that a daughter will be born of this union because you served me nicely. A daughter will be born who will be in the form of river, in whose waters whoever will take bath will get freed from the fear of your first son Yamaraj. So it was counteracted. And that is who? Yami, Yamuna Devi, who is also the fifth queen of Krishna, who is also the expansion of Vishakha Devi, who was formed in spiritual world by the sweat of the gopis when they danced with Krishna in Ras Leela. In spiritual world, all the divine sweat particles, Sweda Bindu, they were collected. And at that time Radharani and Vishakha Devi said that this should be given a form of river. So she became a river. The celestial, the spirit, not celestial, celestial is in Swargaloka. Spiritual world Yamuna Devi, who later on came down by the desire of Sri Krishna to the Swargalokas and to earthly planet. And from there she went back. Along with Ganga Devi she came down. And Ganga Devi also went to Patal Loka. But she went from earth only back to spiritual world. Anyways, so when Surya Dev came, Kunti Devi was actually very fascinated in one sense. At the same time very scared because she saw the effect of the mantra. Millions and millions and millions of miles away she had darshan of Surya Dev and now he was right in front of her. So thrilling actually. So enchanting. At the same time she was fearful that what happened. And she said, please, thank you very much. You can please go. I have understood that the mantra works. But he said, no. Whenever we come, the mantra that you have received from Durvasa Muni has a power. When you have chanted the mantra, we are supposed to be subservient to the power of the mantra and we are supposed to give you son. He says, no, I am a virgin. I am an unmarried woman, unmarried girl. What my father will say? How can I become a mother? He said, don't worry, your virginity will not be disturbed. The son which I will give you as your son will be born through your ears and you will remain virgin in spite of having given birth to a baby. And instantly a son was born. There was no pregnancy of 9 months, please understand. This is the power of mantra. Mantra in the earlier ages was so powerful that Brahmanas would chant the mantra and light the fire in the fire sacrifice. There's no matchboxes and kerosene and so many things were not there. We require cotton and we require ghee and we require some source of fire. But mantra would do so many things, including giving birth to children and foregoing and surpassing all the traditional ways of giving birth to child. So without having to undergo pregnancy for 9 months or whatever number of months, instantly a baby boy was on his hands. And that baby boy had a beautiful kavacha, a celestial covering, which was very effulgent as Surya Dev. And he had inborn earrings, kundala, which were part of his being. You know, we have to wear kundalas, we have to wear kavachas. Kshatriyas would wear the armor, that would be the kavacha. But he had inbuilt, invincible kavach. An invincible, beautiful, shining, effulgent kundalas, which would throw light, you know. So when he was born, he was also effulgent as much as the Surya Dev was. Of course, not as much, but very effulgent. And anybody would have such a child will feel so blissful actually. Such a divine child. But because Kunti Devi was wrongly situated, wrongly placed, because she was not married, she became utterly disgusted, utterly sorrowful, utterly miserable. And before even anybody came to know, she decided with her friends, Sakhis, that we will drop this child in the waters of Ganga. And in a wooden box, with tears flowing like rivers from her two eyes, crying like a cow who lost her calf, she dropped the child in a wooden box in the waters of Ganga, the flowing waters of Ganga, and lost him forever in her understanding. And she was requesting all the devatas, all the Varna devatas and Gava devatas, Grama devatas and the celestial devatas to protect her child. And the child was taken away by the waters of Ganga. And eventually a charioteer, Sarathi, named Adhirath, found him floating on the waters of Ganga. And his wife Radha and he himself raised the child. And because they didn't know anybody, anything about the child, he was raised as a charioteer's son. That means Suta Putra. But by nature, he had tremendous attraction for Lord Surya Deva. And he would derive lots of inspiration from Surya Deva. And even though he was Suta Putra, somehow he picked up archery. And he became a great archer, Dhanurdhar. Along with archery, he also learnt Gada and Talwar and Bhala and Khadag and everything. He became very expert, as much powerful as Kshatriyas. And Kunti Devi lost him. Many, many years passed. And Kunti Devi later on was married with Pandu, the foremost of Kuru, who was very handsome, who was very powerful, very chivalrous, was a firstborn son. Firstborn son was blind, so he was not made into king. So Pandu's mother became white like a ghost when Vyasamuni approached her. And because she became white like a ghost out of fear of uniting with the Hare Krishna. Jai Ho. Thank you so much. This is a blessing. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. So, Pandu was born very handsome but weak in condition. Pandu means anemia. Pandu rog, we say. So, he was very pale. At the same time, very strong but very pale. And a little sickly also. So, he was made into king because at least he was not having any defect in his angas of the body. Dhritarashtra was blind. So, Pandu became king. And Pandu got married with Kunti Devi. Very ceremoniously, very gorgeously they got married and Kunti Devi came as the foremost of queens in the Kuru dynasty under the shelter and care and loving grace of Bhishma Dev. In the course of time, whenever Pandu would go for his hunting, at one time when he went for hunting, he shot an arrow to two deers. And the deers were actually uniting in union. And when the arrow was shot at their marmasthan, both the deers, they were on the verge of death. And they revealed their forms as rishis and rishi patni. You know, many times in the olden times, you would see that the rishis would unite with each other in the form of various birds or animals or horses or deers. So these couple of rishi couple, were uniting in the form of a deer or deers. So when they were on the verge of death, the rishi who revealed himself as rishi from the body of deer cursed Pandu that whenever here next time you will be uniting with your wife or any other woman in the world, both of you will die. Or you will die, sorry, he will die, not wife, because he has shot the arrow. So suddenly Pandu became very rejected. and detached from his, because he knows that now no more enjoyment with wife or any other woman. What is the use of staying in the kingdom? So he left the kingdom and he went to forest. In the meantime, he also was married to Madri, the daughter of Madhradesh, Madhuraj Shalya, his sister. He got married and he had two queens, so Madri and Kunti. With both the queens, he went to forest and he became mendicant. He would sit off meditation for the whole day. And then Dhritarashtra became king, because the king and kingdom has to have king. Dhritarashtra, although he was blind, so they were made into king. And Pandu was doing his tapasya in forest. One day when Madri was supposed to be very, very beautiful. Even Kunti was very beautiful, but Madri was exceptionally beautiful. And both of them were serving him, and there was no question of union and sexual engagement. They would fetch water, fetch fruits, fetch wood, cook something, and he would sit in meditation, stay away from them. One day she was taking bath in the river, in the waterfalls, and after bath she was coming with wet cloths, with water on her body, in the pot. And when she was walking like this, it attracted the heart of Pandu. He opened his eyes and he saw her beauty on the wet cloth, and he was too attracted from her. And just without even thinking, second time, overwhelmed with lust, he caught hold of her and he wanted to enjoy her. Immediately he died. Now I forgot to tell you a story in between. This was little late, this happened little later on. In between, when he was performing tapasya, he realized that I have to have sons to have progeny and to run the kingdom in future. So he was wondering how to have children. I have already been cursed. So he met with Kunti and they were discussing. Kunti said, I have not told you the secret. I was awarded 5 boons, 5 mantras by Durvasa Muni, and by which I can have children. So he was delighted to know this. She said, please invite demigods. So she said, whom should I invite? So he said that invite Yamaraj, that is Dharmaraj. And from Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir was born. Then he told, invite Vayudev. So she invited Vayudev. And from Vayudev, Bhimsen was born. Then he said, invite Indra, the king of all demigods. And from Indra, Arjuna was born. At this time, Madri was feeling a little dejected. And sort of envy also, because her co-wife had 3 children and she didn't have anyone. So she told her husband to request Kunti to give her also some mantra, so she can also have children. So then, reluctantly, Kunti Devi gave one mantra to Madri and made her chant. And Madri was intelligent. She called Ashwini Kumaras, who are 2 in number, the physicians of the demigods of Swarga. And because of twins, she got also twins. They were Sahadev and Nakula. And they were small, small babies, and they were raised in the forest by Kunti and Madri. And later on, this event happened. When 5 children were already born, Madri, somehow, you know, Pandu got attracted to her, and somehow Pandu died because of that. Madri was so guilty, that she didn't take care of this event. You know, she could have very well managed not to walk in front of her husband who was meditating. She could have taken care of this event, because they were knowing that the curse was that he would unite with anybody, he would die. Somehow she could not resist, he could not resist. So she felt she was the cause of his death. So she was hell bent upon entering the fire with him. When his body was being burnt, she entered the fire. She was so much in sorrow, that so much guilty. She said, I cannot live without him. Also, she was very attached to her husband. So she entered the fire, and all the sages in the forest, even Kunti wanted to go, Sati, with her husband. She also loved her husband very much. But all the sages in the forest, they advised her that 5 children are already born.
One mother already is gone. So who will take care of the children? You must stay back. It will be your austerity. I know you want to go sati and die with your husband. But it will be very good from the scriptural point of view to shelter these children. Even your children and Madhuri's children. So she said okay. So she had to be, you know, sacrificing her choice of entering sati. It was the first test for her. You can imagine yourself. Some ladies can imagine themselves. They are in the forest. You know. 5 children, no husband. Husband already was cursed before. She couldn't have children from her husband. And now co-wife is gone, husband is gone. And she had to return back to the kingdom of Hastinapur. While she was already aware that the children of Dhritarashtra were envious of her sons. They had not even met together. But Dhritarashtra was so much affected by political mind that he was already upset when Pandu was made into king. Being an elder son, younger son was made into king. So Pandu, when he went to the forest, he became very happy that he got a chance to become king. But there was a problem. He thought, I have become king. What about my sons? My sons will not become king or will become king. We don't know. And he was the king, existing king, he wanted his son to become the next king, while Pandu's sons were seniors. Am I right? Pandu was the second son or first son? Second son. So there was already a tension in Hastinapur. In that, he was very happy that Pandu has gone to forest and everybody is in the forest, so good, no problem at all. But lo and behold, Kunti comes back with 5 children. Takes shelter of Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev shelters her. Now children are growing. Duryodhan is growing to be a very mischievous, very, you know, demoniac, very envious child, along with 99 brothers, Dushasana and others. And Pandavas are growing to be very virtuous, very lovable, worshipable children, with all the good qualities. All the kingdom of Hastinapur were liking them and praying and desiring that they should become kings. And they were growing up, they went to the same Gurukul. And they were learning. And there was always sparks between Bhimsen and Duryodhan. And the Kauravas and the Pandavas. So many tactics were being done to somehow, you know, subjugate them, insult them, sideline them, not get favors of the kingdom, because he was a existing Yuvraj. While Pandava's father was not there anymore. Fatherless children, with children having father, with the position of Yuvraj. So they would try to use their powers to mislead and misguide and mistreat their co-brothers, foster brothers. And time came of test. And Dronacharya wanted to test their students, Kauravas and Pandavas. And there was a very beautiful arrangement. Full village was set up, akhada was set up, and everybody was performing, and Arjuna became the expert archer, declared to be the best archer. Bhimsen was declared to be the best gadadhari, and Yudhishthira as the best bhaladhari, and Nakul Sahadev as khadga, and Duryodhan also was an equal competitor of Bhimsen. And when Arjuna was about to be declared as the best among everybody, the best archer in the world, somebody at the gate of the akhada shouted very loudly, "Wait! Do not declare him till he fights with me." So everybody was wonderstruck. Who is this man? At that time, all the royal queens, including Kunti and Gandhari and other wives, they were all seated in a very high seat. So they can have a very beautiful aerial view of the competition and of the chivalry of their children. And at that time, Kunti was observing all these things, was very happy that Arjuna was declared to be the best archer, Dhanurdhari. At the last moment, she heard the sound which everybody heard. And she saw a very effulgent young man challenging Arjun. And she saw the kavach and she saw the kundalas on the body of Karna. And after so many years, she realized that this is Karna. It is said that She was overwhelmed with maternal affection and her breasts were pouring milk like rivers. And overwhelmed with separation from her child, whom she had never felt even milk, she fainted there, unconscious. And in her unconscious condition, she was picked up and she was taken to Antapur and nursed by ladies. In the meantime, Karna challenged Arjuna. And Dronacharya didn't like the way Karna challenged. So he asked, "Who are you?" Because this is the assembly of Kshatriya children. This is the Gurukul for Kshatriyas. So you have to, if you want to compete, then you have to tell who are you. Are you from Kshatriya Kul or not? So his head hung down. Because he said, "I am the Adhirat Putra, Suta Putra, Karna." So Duryodhana was very angry. He said, "What kind of challenge is this? This is not justice." So then Dronacharya and others asked, "Do you at least have a kingdom?" He said, "No, I don't have a kingdom also." So Duryodhan saw that I have never seen anybody on earth who is having courage and guts to challenge Arjuna. He's the first person I'm standing, seeing that without fear, he's standing in the assembly of all the Kurus and challenging Arjuna for archery, for the best position of archership. So this is the best person I can become friendship with. And I can make my side strong. So I can also defeat Arjuna in the future. So immediately, in the middle of the akhada, of the test for the martial arts, he coronated Karna by giving him Angadesh. And immediately he made Angaraj. That means the sinking ship of Karna was saved by Duryodhan on the spot, by the power of being Yuvraj. On the spot, he awarded him Angaraj, Angadesh, and made him king. So he became very obliged. And Kunti came into consciousness, she understood what had happened. Now she was so embarrassed. She couldn't tell the world that he's my son. It would be so embarrassing for her, because already she had lost her husband. And this was born when she was Kumarika. What to speak of marriage? Her marriage was done, and her husband also has died. She is now too senior. She is a widow. How can she declare to the Kuru dynasty that this was the son which I had this son when I was a Kumari. I was an unmarried woman. So she didn't have the courage to declare to the world. And she at the same time understood that this is an eternal quarrel. Eternal war is going to begin now. My son has been polluted by Duryodhan and he has taken him into his camp. And at the same time, he has challenged my son Arjuna. So Arjuna has developed envy and enmity towards this Karna. So it is not good at all. So she was constantly suffering from that time onwards. She could not tell the truth. And at the same time, she was constantly suffering to see Duryodhana doing plots and plots and plots. And Karna supporting, Karna giving his ideas, Karna and giving all the counsel. So whatever Duryodhan did there onwards, Karna was party to that. Varnavata plan was done. Karna was not so favorable. He was a veer. He was a chivalrous man. He always wanted to fight and prove his superiority. And Duryodhan did not find those times. Did not find those times appropriate for fight. So he thought cheating would be better. And Shakuni was always giving counsel for cheating. So Varnava's plan was done and Pandavas were sent to forest, and at that time somehow Vidura sent a message, code message, and tunnel was formed and they were saved. And Kunti had to see that there her children were plotted against for burning them alive. She was a mother, she understood that my children are now about to be burnt alive. And somehow, last moment they escaped through the emergency made tunnel. And then eventually they got Draupadi as wife, because Vishwamitra Muni came there and he took them to Panchal Desh. And there there was Swayamvar of Draupadi. And there they were in the Brahminical form, in Rishi form, disguised. And Duryodhan was there, Karna was there. And again, in that assembly, Karna was not allowed to compete in the competition. So he was insulted. The Draupadi laughed at him. And Draupadi denied him that you are Sutuputra. This is the Swayamvar of Kshatriyas. So although he was capable, he lifted the bow. But he had to keep it down before he strung it. So like that, later on, Duryodhan had given poison to Bhimsen on the fasting day. And then he threw him the river, Yamuna. Somehow, by the Nagaloka and the Nagaraj, he was saved. All the poison was destroyed. And then instead of getting victimized by the poison, he received the power of 10,000 elephants. Because he drank 10 glasses of the kheer given by the Nagaraj. So every time they were put into a situation of danger, and by the mercy of Krishna, they were saved. But Kunti Devi had to witness all these events, one after another. Poison cake being given to son, plan to burn them alive, then the game of dice. In the game of dice, they lost everything. Before the game of dice, when there was a division of land, the worst land was given to Pandavas. It's called Khandava Prastha. Nobody would even imagine to establish any kingdom over there. Such third-class land was given to them. They had to accept it. By the mercy of Krishna, it was turned into Indraprastha. And then they lost that whole thing in the game of gambling, planned by Shakuni. One after another, she had to see that her sons were suppressed. Most chivalrous, most powerful, most virtuous, most glorifiable sons were always suppressed by the politics of Shakuni and Duryodhan, supported by Dhritarashtra. After getting third-class land, they converted into the best land, and even Duryodhan couldn't tolerate it. He was so envious that Maidana, who was saved from the Khandava Prastha, when Krishna burned Khandava Prastha with Arjuna, they were resting, and that time Krishna got Yamuna as his wife. When he was burning the Khandava Prastha, Maidana escaped because he was living in the forest. And Maidana surrendered at the feet of Krishna. So Krishna said that, oh, we don't kill him. He has surrendered to me. We will take service from him. So Krishna said, you build a Maya Sabha over here. Maya Sabha means very illusory, very bewildering construction over here. So he did construction, and that was such a fantastic construction that he did. That where it was water, it was looked like land. And where it was land, it looked like water. It was so bewildering. And everything was so super class, celestial, swargiya, that nobody on earth could imagine to have constructed such a beautiful palace. And this is not only palace. Palace was only Maya Sabha, the assembly hall. The whole Indraprastha was built in such a beautiful way that Duryodhan, although he thought, good, I gave him third class land, but when he saw they have converted into such a beautiful place, he said, I want that. And then he instigated Yudhishthir Maharaj for playing gambling match. And everybody was sitting there. Kunti was there, Bhishmadev was there, Dronacharya was there. And by doing malice, by wrong practice, Shakuni usurped. He had made the dice by the bones of Jarasandha. And Jarasandha would roar when he would fight with Bhimsen. And because of that, when Shakuni would throw them and Bhimsen would roar, the dice would go in different direction. That was the cunning nature of Shakuni. He knew everything. And accordingly, he controlled the dice and he fooled the Pandavas. And he usurped the full kingdom. And Yudhishthira was so enamored by the game of dice that he was tempted to bet his brothers. He lost his brothers also. He lost his kingdom, he lost his brothers, lost all his wealth, opulences, everything. And Shakuni and Duryodhan instigated him, you have still one more thing. He said, what I have got? He said, you have your beautiful wife Draupadi. You already have put brothers on bet. Why don't you put your Draupadi also? But somebody said that you have lost yourself. How can you bet something else? You have lost everything and lost yourself also. You have no right to bet your wife. But still Shakuni said, no, no, no. She's still your wife. They put her also on bet. And they lost her also. Or everything was witnessed by Kunti Devi. You can imagine? Huh? We are just hearing the story. Radhanath Maharaj of late said that whenever you hear the story, you should hear the story as if you are one of the participant of the Leela, not as an audience. You should imagine yourself within the Leela. You can imagine yourself as Kunti. That she had to witness everything right from beginning. In the beginning only she didn't want her children to fight in the, sit for the game of dice. Because she knew the game of dice with Shakuni on opposite side is never going to be a good game. It's never going to be a playful, happy Kshatriya participating into game of dice. It's going to be always cunning. It's going to be always witchcrafted. It's always going to be badly motivated. It's going to be destroying. It could be all everything negative. But somehow, being a queen of the kingdom, she couldn't discuss all these things with men, which was headed by Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya and Dhritarashtra and all big men were there. It was a big sabha. How could she speak up? So the game started. So she had to witness all the game. Things being lost one after another, whatever hard-earned labor, whatever kingdom, everything was being lost one after another, including the younger sons, including Bhimsen, including Arjuna, including Yudhishthir himself. And on top of that, they betted Draupadi and they lost her also. And the story didn't end there. Dushasan was ordered by Duryodhan, go and get that lady. She is Dasi now. She has to come and sit on my lap and satisfy me whenever I want. She was at that time Rajaswala. Rajaswala means she was in her menses. She was dragged by Dushasan, by his vicious hands, in that most embarrassing, painful condition. With hair open, dragged her by hair, insulted her like anything. There cannot be anything more insulting to anybody than this in the whole history and whole creation. Somebody's wife who is a Rajakanya, who is a Rajasri, who is celebrated as most chaste woman. She is a daughter of King Drupada from Panchal Desh, most virtuous, born out of fire from the Yajna. Yajna Seni was her name. She was all glorious. She was not born out of pregnancy and everything. She was born out of yajna. Her body was fragrant for 2.5 miles in radius around her. Everything was celestial about her. And virtue and qualities were magnanimous. Such lady was brought into the assembly of men in the most insulting way, in the most embarrassing condition and position. And as if not enough, Duryodhana ordered that strip her off her clothes. Let me see her naked body. And that activity, or a heinous activity, was tried in front of all the Kurus. Somehow by the inconceivable arrangements of Krishna, Mayadevi bewildered the minds of Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya. And they just got stuck to that chair. They just couldn't do anything. They were totally bewildered by the arrangement of the Lord. And this was all in front of eyes of everybody. Most insulting. You can never imagine how one can undergo such kind of situations in life. And even then, Draupadi never used bad words for Krishna. After trying with her husbands and every Kuru, all the men of Kuru dynasty, she called Krishna, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal. And somehow Krishna saved her by Ambara avatar, by delivering unlimited cloth. Ended with Pitambar. And Dushasan fainted there. Although he had power of 10,000 elephants. By pulling and pulling and pulling the cloth, Dushasan fainted there, unconscious. And then, again the dice game was played. And this time it was said that, if you lose, you will go to the forest. And sure enough, Shakuni defeated them. And the most virtuous sons of Kunti, the Pandavas, were sent to forest. And forest means you have to walk barefoot. You cannot eat cooked food. You have to eat only roots and berries and fruits. You are endangered by wild animals. You cannot sleep peacefully. You cannot stay under one tree for more than a day. You cannot stay under your lovable bank of a liking river. You have to change the place. You have to keep moving. Walking barefoot from stones and pebbles and stones and everything. In heat and sun and rains. Endangered by animals. Rakshasas in the forest. It was the most difficult time they had. But they never gave up the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. In their hearts of their hearts. They remained surrendered to the will of the Lord. They never questioned or complained to Krishna. And somehow they were suffering. But Duryodhan was not still happy. He wanted to destroy them even in the forest also. So he sent Durvasa Muni there. And Durvasa Muni, you know, again Durvasa Muni story is coming here. 60,000 disciples he brought. And Draupadi had just finished her meal from Akshay Patra. And the rule was that if she eats after feeding everybody, till she eats, she can feed thousands upon thousands of people. Unlimited number of feast items. But if she eats, then till next day nobody can eat on that. Nothing can be produced. And at that right time, Duryodhan very cunningly pleased Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni asked, please ask me benediction. So cunning he was. How mean one can be, you know, in life. He said, I don't want anything for myself. I feel very bad for my brothers. My brothers are suffering in the forest. As you have pleased with me and you want to give benediction, please go and give benediction to my brothers in the forest. Go and give them opportunity for service. Durvasa Muni immediately went to forest with 60,000 disciples. And at that just moment they had finished. And they were worried. Draupadi said, I'm sorry, I cannot give food. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, at least buy some time, we'll discuss about it. Send them to take bath. So Yudhishthira Maharaj requested Muni and 60,000 disciples, please go and take bath. We'll make lunch ready for you. Draupadi is saying, from where I'll make lunch? Nothing is available. I cannot do anything. At that time, helplessly she called Krishna. And Krishna was taking his lunch with Rukmini in Dwarka. Chappan bhoga. The Bhagyalakshmi of Bhagyalakshmis were personally fanning her and were serving him food made by her own lotus hands. The best of all situations was available with Krishna. And at that time Draupadi called, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And immediately Krishna left while he was eating lunch. Suddenly he got up and he went. Rukmini felt, what I have done? Anything wrong? Anything was made wrong? Anything was more salty or more oily or more hot or stilly or spicy? She couldn't know the reason. She just vanished. Instantly appeared in the forest and said, Hey, Draupadi, please give me food. I'm hungry. You called me, I came, left my lunch and came here. Draupadi said, Why are you making fun of me? I'm in difficulty here. I don't have any food. She said, No, go and search in the pot. Something must be there. So really she went and searched. There was one grain of rice. And Krishna took that and he ate. And immediately all the universe was satisfied. As if they had had stomachs and stomachs full of sweet rice. And same happened with the 60,000 disciples of Durvasa and Durvasa himself. And then Krishna said to Bhimsen, take your club and go to the forest, go to the river and invite them for lunch. So Draupadi was wondering, what is there to invite? There is nothing here at home. He said, please go and invite them. So Bhimsen went with his gada. And all the rishis, they were taking bath in the river. They just started belching. Belching of sweet rice. Stomach full. She said, how can Bhima is coming with his club to invite us? Let us go swim across other bank of the river. And they ran away. And Bhimsen was wondering, why these sadhus are running away? They didn't understand. What is the secret behind it? So all these difficulties, Kunti Devi was knowing. And in the end, it is said, the last difficulty that she had was, her young virtuous sons, had to fight a Kurukshetra war. It is explained in scriptures that Kuru dynasty was like Timingala fish. You know what is Timingala fish? Timingala fish is that fish which swallows whales. Devamasa. Devamasa itself is like island, you know. If Devamasa, the whale fish rests on the ocean, it's like an island. You can go and make your house on that. Such a body of whale, such a fish called whale used to be swallowed by Timingala fish. And such were the Kuru warriors, like Bhishma Dev, like Dronacharya, like Shakuni, like Duryodhan, Karna, Kritavarma. There were so many warriors. And they had 11 Akshavahini divisions of soldiers. And Pandavas only had 7. And Krishna was also going to join them without any weapons. So from all points of view of understanding of materialism, there was no chance of winning the war. That means, in front of the eyes of Kunti, their 5 children were going to be destroyed, 100%. So she became very perturbed. And she thought, now I must reveal the secret that Karna is my son. So she went to Karna in a very helpless condition. You can imagine Kunti's condition. So many years she has harbored this secret, and she has got tortured with events after events after events. And now finally she has to see that her children are going to get destroyed in the warfare. But she knew the powers of Karna. Karna had also learned archery from Parshuram and so many other gurus, Brihaspati also. So she was worried. So helplessly at the last moment of before the battle, she went to Karna. He was doing his morning sadhana. At that time, after sadhana got over, he would give donations. He was Danshur. He was known for his charity. And his charity would always be there after he finishes his prayers in the morning. So Kunti Devi was waiting for hours together in the morning till he finished his prayers. And when he finished his prayers and turned, he saw first Kunti Devi. And Kunti Devi told the whole story to him. She said, why you have come here? She said, I have come to ask a benediction from you. Before that, I want to tell you a story to you. And she told how he was her son. And Karna was shocked. She said, what kind of mother you are? And I don't want to repeat all the words. Karna used very, very harsh and bad words for Kunti. She said, what kind of mother you are? You left me without giving milk to me. I was brought up as Sutaputra, a condemned life. Although I am a Kshatriya, son of sun god, as now you are telling me, I had all rights to become the Shrestha Pandava, Jeshtha Pandava. But because of you, I had to be raised as Sutaputra. And I had to be condemned every time by Pandavas, in every place as Sutaputra. I lived life of a cursed life, Shapit Jivan, because of you. And now you have come to me very selfishly at the last moment of this battlefield, when the war is going to begin. Selfishly you have to come. You have come to save your sons. But I cannot come to this side of Pandavas. Anyway, I respect you as my mother, so I promise you that your 5 sons will be alive. I will be killed or Arjuna will be killed. I will definitely fight with Arjuna. Even if I fight with anybody else of your sons, I will not kill them. But Arjuna I have to kill. Because whole life he has been my number one enemy. He has been challenging me, I have been challenging him, and we are waiting for that day when we can fight face to face. So I will definitely not kill others, but I will kill Karna. If I kill Karna, I kill Arjuna, then still with me you have 5. And if I die, then still you have Arjuna and the 5. So at any case, 5 will be with you, 5 sons. Can you imagine Kunti's position? How embarrassing it was, must be for her. How painful it must be for her. She had come to save all 6 children. But she had to ultimately accept a solution with one son has to be dead. So even she could save her 5 sons from the wrath of Karna, that means 5 will remain, 4 will be saved. Still she was not happy because she loved all of them. And she wanted Karna also to live and as the elder Pandu, elder Pandava, and become the king. And in the warfare, she got the news that he defeated Yudhishthir in a very insulting way. He said, go, live your life. I give this life in donation to you. Same thing he did with Bhimsen also. It is explained that to Yudhishthir, he put his dhanusha on his neck and shook him with dhanusha like this in a very insulting way. He said, get lost from here. You don't deserve to be killed by me. Go away. And Yudhishthir came with head hung down in his tambu in the evening. And all the brothers cursed him. Why didn't you die? Why you came alive like this? You should have committed suicide. So much of embarrassment Karna gave. Then he became the commander-in-chief. And was waiting to fight with Arjuna. And then the big war took place and ultimately Karna was killed. And at that time, Kunti couldn't control her agony. And she heard the news that Karna is killed in the battlefield. Before that, you know, his Kavacha and Kundala were taken away by Indra. Because Indra wanted to save Arjuna, his son. Sun God gave guidance to Karna that Indra will come as a beggar. But Karna said, what to do? If I am sitting for my prayer and anybody comes after prayer, anybody, even if Supreme Personality of Godhead comes also, I will give donations. So let him come. So Indra came and asked for Kavach Kundala, tore it apart and gave it to him. So he was bereft of everything. So when finally he died, Kunti could not control her agony. And Kunti came running to the battlefield. And she was searching everywhere the dead body of Karna. And Pandavas were rejoicing that Karna was killed. But they were surprised. Why mother is coming searching dead bodies? And she was searching dead bodies where Kuru's dead bodies, all the Kurus, they were getting killed. In their side, she was searching for dead bodies. And finally they came to know that she was searching Karna's body. And they came to know that she was crying, beating her chest at the dead body of Karna. They were bewildered. Mother, mother, what are you doing? Today is a day of rejoice. We have killed Karna. And why are you crying your precious, valuable tears for a person, heinous person like Karna? And she was crying and crying and crying. You can imagine her embarrassment in front of her own virtuous sons. She was expressing her agony and she couldn't speak a word. Out of embarrassment. And that time she revealed that he was the elder Pandava. He was your elder brother. And that time the most virtuous, most controlled, most self-composed Yudhishthir said, you are Kulta. Kulta means you are a contaminated woman. She had to hear this from her most virtuous son. And he cursed her because you kept the secret all your life and didn't reveal it to anybody else. We could have worshipped him. We could have made him our king. We could have surrendered to him before warfare also. But because of you, you never told anything to all of us. I curse all women folk that they will not be able to keep any secret here onwards. That is why our women cannot keep any secrets. That is why we don't tell most important secrets to our women. But you can imagine Kunti receiving this curse from her own son in a very embarrassing situation. So all this she went through. Then eventually Pandavas became king. And now we are coming to the situation of these prayers in Bhagavatam. In one sense, our class is beginning now. Anyways, the situation is like this, that the war was over and Pandavas were coronated. Yudhishthir Maharaj underwent Rajasui Yajna. He became Samrat, Chakravarti Samrat, Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Krishna was knowing that Bhishmadev was waiting. So he took all of them to Bhishmadev. And then Bhishmadev passed away. And then time was there for Krishna to leave Hastinapur because his mission was successful. His mission was to establish Pandavas as kings. He had done that. Now the glorious Yudhishthir Maharaj was the illustrious king of the whole universe, of the whole earth planet, Aryavarta. And everything was very wonderful. Dharma Rajya was established. The kingdom of religion, Dharma Rajya. And at that time Krishna was about to leave. He ascended his chariot. At that time with great heavy hearts, all the Pandavas and Kunti Devi came to say bye-bye to him. And at that moment, Kunti Devi could not check her ears, tears. She was so sorrowful. At that moment of her life, she offered these wonderful prayers to Krishna, which are very famous and celebrated as Kunti's prayers, which are incorporated by Shukadev Maharaj into Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if Parikshit was going to die in 7 days, he included these prayers because it was very important. It was filled with realizations. It was filled with heartfelt emotions of devotion and love for Krishna. And it was felt as essential for Parikshit Maharaj to know. That was Shukadev Maharaj, very lovingly, very intelligently, and very spiritually oriented intelligence, he incorporated these prayers. He could have skipped them. He could have said, Kunti offered prayers and Krishna went away. But no, he described all the prayers in details to Parikshit Maharaj. And the essence of all this prayer is how wonderful Kunti was. Let me also explain to you the Kunti's position. In the devotional sentiments to Krishna or mellows, rasas, there are 13 total rasas. And 5 of them are major and 8 of them are secondary, primary and secondary. And in primary rasas, there is Shantaras, there is Dasyaras, there is Sakya Ras, there is Vatsalya Ras, and there is Madhurya Ras. So Kunti Devi is a devotee in Vatsalya Ras. But Acharyas have given us a list of devotees in the order of priority or in the order of preference, or from topmost to the one down. The topmost devotee of Vatsalya Ras, anybody knows who is he? Yashoda Mai. More than Nanda Maharaj also. And second was? Who was the second one? Nanda Maharaj himself. Third in list is Rohini Mata. But she also lived with them in Braj Bhumi, in Madhurya Vatsalya. The Bhumi which is overwhelmed with Madhurya, in that Vatsalya she was. That Vatsalya was free from the understanding that Krishna and Balaram was Supreme Personality of Godhead. That kind of Vatsalya they were experiencing. So Yashoda Mata also same mood, Nanda Maharaj, then comes Rohini. Then come all the coward women who were desiring to have Krishna as their son. And they were satisfied in the Brahma Vimohan Leela because Krishna became all the coward boys and drank the milk of all the mothers in Braj Bhumi who were also in that Vatsalya which was free from the understanding that Krishna was Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these women were fourth in number. And then comes Devaki, fifth in number. But her Vatsalya was a knowledge of Krishna supreme being Supreme Personality of Godhead. So her Vatsalya was Aishwarya Vatsalya. With the understanding, like Arjuna was in Aishwarya Sakya. He knew Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still he loved him as a friend. Similarly, Devaki knew that he was born in front of my eyes with forearmed. But still she had Vatsalya for him. So she was fifth in number. And sixth in number were all the other 18 queens of Vasudev, were co-wives of Devaki. But there was an interaction between them and Krishna after Kamsa was killed. And that is explained in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How the 18 queens interacted with Krishna. And they were sixth in number. And seventh in number was Kunti Devi. And eighth in number was Vasudev. This is the hierarchy of Vatsalya Bhav. And even Putana comes in Vatsalya Bhav. By the way, she also is enlisted as one of the Vatsalya Bhav ladies. So this lady, Kunti Devi, is seventh in the list of priority. From gold medal to seventh one. She is offering these prayers. So her prayers are in Vatsalya Bhav only. At the same time, she is in cognizance of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, Aishwarya Vatsalya. But still Vatsalya was there. because Krishna was her nephew, her brother's son. So first nature of these prayers of Kunti Devi is that she is accepting a humble position. By the laws of world, by the Shishtachar, Krishna would go and touch the feet of Kunti Devi as her aunt, as his aunt. Bua, we say in Hindi. So whenever Krishna met Kunti, he would go and touch her feet. So she was a respectable lady in front of Krishna also, as his aunt. But at this moment of time, she has given up the worldly designation. And she is, as a spirit soul, as a part and parcel of Krishna, as a devotee of the Lord, she is submitting herself to Krishna. So all these prayers are based on the essential sthayi bhav of humility and surrender. And then he goes on describing Krishna's beautiful pastimes, his activities. And one of the important prayers that she has offered is, she has said that, let the calamities come again and again, so I can see you again and again. That's why Kunti, her personality is supposed to be, this is a very important point. Our acharyas explain that Kunti Devi is the embodiment of success. Yash aspect of Krishna's personality, she is the embodiment of that. How it is that she was the embodiment of Yasha of Krishna? That whenever one becomes humble and becomes a devotee of the Lord, and then calamities come in life, and you call out Krishna's name for shelter, you are successful because you have attained the ultimate purpose of life. What is success ultimately? Success is to be able to connect with the Lord. In this life, success is defined as to be able to establish a connection, a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. That is our success. And that Kunti Devi was highly successful in all the events of her life. Calamities went on, kept on coming and coming and coming, and each time she took shelter of Krishna, she took shelter of Krishna, and she took shelter of Krishna. So each time a more dangerous and more severe, intense calamity came, she more intensely connected with the Lord. And thus she was successful. And then she herself explains that when I undergo difficulties, I remember you. When I remember you means there is no more birth and death again. A punarbhava darshanam. There is no more birth and death again as soon as we remember Krishna. That eternal powerful truth Kunti Devi is manifested over here through her prayers. That's why her prayers are glorious. Her prayers are not simply a prayer of a woman to a Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the prayers of a most elevated Vaishnavi. From the core of her heart, from the platform of highest realizations, she is expressing her emotions in front of the Lord. And guiding the whole universe of Vaishnavas on the path of devotional service to Krishna. This is her glory. That's why she is celebrated as Vidushi, as the most wonderfully elevated, enlightened woman in the history of mankind, in the history of the world. And in this prayer, she is saying, let us speak about a few things about this verse also. About prayers, it is explained that prayers is one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Navada Bhakti, Vandanam is one of the aspect of prayers, aspect of Bhakti. And who is the Acharya of Vandanam? Yes? Akrura. Akrura was offering prayers while he was sent by Kamsa from Mathura. He was on the way to Vrindavan and he was praying and praying and praying with a beautiful, loving, devotional heart, anticipating the meetings of Krishna, meetings with Krishna, which would happen in Vrindavan and in Nandagaon. So Kunti Devi also is offering prayers here. And it is explained that if one offers prayers to Sri Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing in front with humility and taking shelter, all the karmic reactions are washed off and one makes very quick progress towards the spiritual abodes. Skanda Purana explains that if one offers prayers to Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person whose tongue is decorated with choicest heartfelt prayers for the Supreme Lord, he becomes worshipable for demigods. In the material world, people are worshipping demigods. But those people who worship demigods, those demigods worship somebody. Who are those? People who are demigods are worshipping them. Are those people who pray and decorate their tongues with prayers for Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who become devotees of Krishna. Who imbibe the qualities of demigods. And then demigods, those who are offering prayers to Supreme Personality of Godhead, demigods seek their association. And demigods reside in and around them. Of all those devotees who are offering prayers to Krishna. So it's our great fortune. When we come in front of Radha Kunj Bihari Gaur Nithai, we should decorate our tongues with choicest of prayers coming from right from the platform of heart. Immediately, all of you will become worshipable by demigods. More than that, Krishna will become very pleased. Krishna's heart will be attracted. He is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. And his power of prayers is such that it attracts the heart of Krishna. Krishna may be distracted, but the moment prayers are uttered from a sincere heart and sincere tongue, he gets attracted as a focus to that person who is offering prayers. And these prayers are very, very powerful tool, because prayers coming from the heart, sincere prayers, are very, very spiritual in nature. What is the meaning of that? That they begin from spirit and they go to spirit. Whether the spirits are like all of us, the parts and parcel of the Lord, or whether it is Supreme Spirit, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimately, everything is spiritual material, right? So when we offer prayers to Sri Krishna, it goes from your spirit to Sri Krishna. And when we offer prayers for fellow devotees, it is explained that much more than you pray for yourself, your prayers reach with the benefit to those whom you are praying for. Because Krishna responds faster to those prayers which are done by you for others, more than the prayers done for yourself. You may offer prayer for yourself also. Okay, let me get freed from the disease. Let me get service to you. Or let me get money. Or let me get enough money to serve you. Whatever. We may offer so many selfish or selfless prayers. And Krishna also hears that if they are sincere at heart. There is no harm even if you offer prayers for yourself. But the fact of the matter is that when you offer prayer for yourself, they are heard slower than the prayers that are offered for others. So what we do? We offer prayers for you and request you to offer prayer for me. Simple. So my purpose is fulfilled, your purpose is fulfilled with the speed also. But the devotees who are benevolent, who are compassionate in nature, they never think like this. When they offer prayers for others, they offer selflessly. Never thinking that he will pray for me. Definitely in return he will pray for you, or she will pray for you. But when the devotee offers prayers for others, he doesn't expect that I will expect prayers in return. Then only I offer prayers for you. Another power of prayer is, it is not that only when you are in front of me, I offer prayers to Krishna for you. And that's how the prayers will reach immediately you in the form of results or benefits. You may be in America and I may be in India. I may be in a village, you may be in a city. But when I offer prayers on the spiritual platform, wherever you are, the benefit of prayers will reach you. What to speak of this life? We may not be in this life. For example, my grandma she left her body in 1973 when I was 10 years old. Today maybe 50 years have passed, 49 years have passed. Is that right? No, 39 years have passed. But still I offer prayers for her with the faith that soul is eternal. Is that right? Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam, vidudhadi kaman. Mamai vancho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. The soul is sanatan. So, my grandma must have changed her body from one to another. She must be in the third body right now. In third generation. But wherever the soul is, the prayers will reach. So even if somebody dies, we can keep offering prayers for them. Because prayers are spiritual and we are also spiritual. So prayers springing out from our soul we will reach to the soul irrespective of body, irrespective of life, irrespective of planets. For that matter, you can even offer prayer for Indra. He's in the heavenly planets right now. He's also in a heavenly body, Bhoga Sharira. And he's living somewhere in the planet. You can even pray for Indra also. What I'm trying to convey to you is that the living entity can be on any planet, any situation, anywhere, any body, any life. He may be in bird's life, cat's life, dog's life, animal's life, fish life, tree life. Any life. You can offer a prayer for a tree also. But actually you're not offering prayer for a tree. You're offering prayer to the soul of the tree. One should offer like that. In return, the tree, the Kalpavriksha Vrindavan, will also give benediction to you. So prayers are always beneficial. Whichever and however you offer, whenever they're offered in sincere heart, they will always benefit us. In our hospice in Vrindavan, we give something called as end of life care. When the person is actually dying, there's something called as active dying process. That means the process of dying starts and the person gradually starts sinking. His breathing, his heartbeat, his pulse goes on gradually decreasing, his breathing changes and he starts rattling and finally he attains the moment of death. But when he is in the active dying process, the most powerful tool in our end of life care that we offer is prayers. You may have Gangajal, Radhakunjal, Charanamrut, Tulsi and Mahaprasadam and Mahagarland, and you may have all these things, Braj Raj and Mahaprasadams of items of many, many great deities in the world. It's very good to have. But suppose you don't have anything, nothing to worry. We have two things. We have the holy name and we have the prayers. And without fail, without hesitance and without sankoch, we should offer heartfelt prayers for the passing soul. Why only passing soul? Every soul. But suppose we are walking on the road and somebody dies in accident. Take a moment and offer your heartfelt prayer for their soul. That soul, instead of going to hell, will be elevated to spiritual abodes simply by the power of the prayer of a sincere devotee. We may not feel that we are pure devotees. We are aspiring devotees. We are mixed devotees. We are in-between devotees. We are not pure devotees. Fine. As long as you offer sincere prayers, they reach the soul. It's like saying that I'm not a pure devotee, but I can still perform pure devotional service. Is that true or not? What is pure devotional service? Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrutam. Right? Anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. If you do this, if you offer sincere prayer, a sincere devotional service free from any desires other than Krishna and uncovered by knowledge and karma, and you are serving Krishna favorably, you are performing pure devotional service irrespective of being a pure devotee or not. Similarly, we may not be pure devotees, but still you can offer pure prayers for other living entity. That is the principle here. We have to have faith in these words, in this knowledge. If your relative is dying in America and you sit here and offer prayers, your prayers will affect the soul who is in America and leaving the body. And with this knowledge and understanding, our area or our jurisdiction of prayers becomes unlimited. You know, it allows us to offer our prayers in all conditions of life, in all situations, in all times, in all bodies, wherever we are, to whomever we want to offer prayers to. Is that right? So this is what Kunti is doing actually. Kunti is allowing us to offer prayers. Because prayers, it is explained that prayers should be notable. Prayers should not be anything. But scriptures explain us that prayers have to be in the line of Vaishnavas who are acharyas. They are of three types. One is Dainya Pramodini. Maybe I am making a mistake in word. But word Dainya is there in that. Dainya Prabodhika, something like that. The first kind of prayers, which are basically done with humble heart, seeking shelter. Dainya Modini. Dainya Bodhika, something. Okay. Second kind of prayers are lalasa mai prarthana. Desiring something in Krishna's service. They're called as lalasa mai prarthana. Narottam Das Thakur has written one full book on lalasa mai prarthana. One full book of prayers is written lalasa mai prarthana. And third prayer is called as samprarthanatmika prarthana. Prayers done with very intense feelings of the heart. Very intense and deep emotions of the heart. And Kunti Devi's prayers can be categorized in these prayers. With deep feelings, of course, this categorization is given by Thakur Bhakti Vinod, and the definitions can be overlapping. Some prayers can be at the same time Dainya Mod Pramodika or Lalasamai and some Pratratmika also. It's possible. But grossly, these are defined like that. And mostly, if you do not have a knowledge of how to offer prayers, we should read the prayers offered by great souls in Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. Like Rudra Geet, prayers offered to Lord Shiva by Prachetas, and Kunti's prayers, then prayers offered by Dhruva to Lord Vishnu, prayers offered by personified Vedas to Krishna, prayers offered by demigods to Krishna in the womb of Devaki. There are so many prayers, they are filled with transcendental realizations. And when we offer and repeat those prayers, our heart becomes totally nourished with realizations, and truly the prayers reach the object to whom it is expected to reach. So if you don't have any prayers, the best of prayers is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Next best prayers to learn is Shikshashtakam prayers. They are supposed to be the essence of all the Vedic realizations. All these so-called realizations, whatever we can achieve in life, they are all summarized in 8 verses by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful incarnation of Sri Krishna himself. And then comes prayers offered by Vaishnavas, like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Vasudev Ghosh, and so many other prayers, as in Bhagavatam also. So this is, I thought I should briefly talk about the topic of prayers. Because all of us, as aspiring devotees, must cultivate the habit of prayers. We must not go in front of Krishna with a blank heart. We must offer prayers. How to offer prayers when we go in front of Krishna? First, when you offer Dandavat Pranam to Supreme Personality of Godhead, first you glorify Him. You glorify Him, how merciful you are, my Lord, how magnanimous you are, O Creator, O Maintainer. Like that you glorify Him with all these qualities. Second, you offer prayers for your sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Please, I am a sinful rascal. Please forgive me of all my mistakes. Third thing you do is ask for service to Him. Offer prayers to beg service from Him. And third and fourth thing is, without fail, offer prayers for your fellow devotees also. To all the devotees who are in difficulties, suffering challenges, suffering tests, suffering difficult environments in their life. Very difficult path sometimes it becomes in bhakti. You beg for the mercy for those devotees who are struggling in their life, materially or spiritually. These are the various things one can do. Glorification, begging forgiveness, begging for service, and one of the most important thing is prayers with gratitude, thankful heart. Thankful heart is one that makes one person eligible to enter the kingdom of God with rightful nature. It is explained by Brahmaji in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that if one offers dandavats and prayers to the Lord in the middle of difficult situations, in the middle of miseries, if one folds his hands and offers prayers to Supreme Personality of Godhead, the kingdom of God doesn't become a mercy upon that person. The kingdom of God becomes his rightful ownership. One becomes rightful owner of the kingdom of God. Entry in kingdom of God becomes his right. Sa eva daya bhak, it is explained in the shloka of the Tenukampam Sushumikshamano. So that's why, after all the prayers that you do to Krishna, do not forget to thank Krishna for whatever He has done. It may be pain, it may be pleasure, it may be wanted things, it may be unwanted things. What is Kunti Devi doing? She has not offered these prayers that let calamities come again and again when she was undergoing those miseries. The miseries came, she underwent them, she endured them, and after a long time of the miseries, she is saying that let them come again and again. Similarly, you and me may undergo many miserable conditions of life, and the miseries may be so overwhelming, at that time it may not be easily possible for you to say thank you to the Lord. Doesn't matter. Tomorrow, day after tomorrow of the misery, you can come in front of Krishna and say thank you for the misery that you gave me. Knowing well that that misery was personally ordained and planned and orchestrated by Krishna himself, and it was meant for our real spiritual upliftment. It appeared bad test for me or bad experience for me, but now I understand that they are fully designed by Sri Krishna himself for my spiritual upliftment. And with that full realization, we say thank you maybe on the third day. That is fine. But please do that. When we do that, when you are truly and sincerely utter thank you from your heart to Krishna, at that moment you become the rightful owner of entrance in the kingdom of God. So Kunti Devi is telling us that you may not be able to offer thank you that time. If you are able to say thank you that time, you will get millions of times more power of endurance in yourself. Just try this. When you suffer, you say thank you to the Lord. At that time you will find tremendous spiritual force entering in you, making you strong to further endure mercy sent by Krishna. Ultimately, it is mercy only. Whether it comes bad or good to you, to your senses it appears bad, but in truth it is uplifting for the soul and is always benevolent and always beneficiary for the soul. So Kunti Devi's prayers are giving us hope that she is offering thank you to Krishna at a particular moment of her life, at the most important moment of her life. And Krishna, by the virtue of her prayers, is guaranteeing that she will be entering the kingdom of God with great honor and pomp. So this is Kunti Devi's prayers. We didn't have time to discuss the prayers in details. But nonetheless, morning we discussed about how Kunti Devi was telling that you appear partial, but actually you are not partial. It's only your pastime. I would like to narrate to you one pastime. Because she also has uttered the word Vidambanam in this shloka. It is so misleading and bewildering. Krishna's pastimes, if you analyze from beginning to end, you will find there are many contradictions in that. As Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is lifting Govardhan 7 days and 7 nights like no one ever has done before. No incarnation of the Lord also has ever performed such kind of pastimes that Krishna is lifting Govardhan for 7 days and 7 nights. And that same Krishna, when there is thunder in the sky, he comes running in the lap of Yashoda. Mama, I'm feeling so sad, I'm feeling so scared. The sound in the sky is scaring me. Because, you know, Nanda Baba and the big coward man, they always come together and sit at a place called Nanda Baitak. And Nanda Baitak, what they do? They simply keep discussing what they have heard that Krishna has done. Whatever Krishna has done in the past days, they keep on discussing about that. Various aspects of that. So at one time, they were discussing how great Krishna is. It's called as Vismaya Leela. This is described as Vismaya Leela in Bhagavatam. Where the coward men are sitting at Nanda Baitak and discussing how wonderful Krishna is. Look at Krishna. He lifted Govardhan. 7 days and 7 nights. Who could have done that? He must be a demigod. Somebody said, no. He must be a great sage. No. Somebody said that he must be a great Siddha. He must have acquired so many Siddhis. He looks like a child, but he must be a great Siddha. And they are discussing like that. Maybe Mahatma, maybe a Siddha, maybe a demigod, maybe a Rishi, maybe pious karma in the last life, giving him power this time. So many things have been discussed. And Nanda Maharaj is laughing and laughing and laughing. He said, demigod? He is demigod? No demigods go and pass urine in somebody's house. This boy, when he doesn't get butter in the house of gopis, he goes and passes urine in their house. Which demigod, you know, does this? And not only this, When he doesn't get butter in the gopis' houses, he puts water in the ears of the sleeping children of the gopis in the cradle and disturb them. Sometimes he pinches them to make them cry. And he says, demigods are not scared. This child, when there's thunder in the sky, is come running in the mother's lap. Mama, I'm scared. He's not a demigod. How can be a Mahatma? Mahatmas don't do all these things. Do they steal in somebody's houses? They just go and do bhavati bhiksha and dehi, and whatever we give, they take and they eat, accepting very gratefully. And this fellow goes in the houses, doesn't say bhavati bhiksha and dehi, goes and steals. And when they don't give, he does all this mischief. He gives bad words to gopis. When they catch him, he gives them curses that you will get married with seven old men. Sorry, you will get married with an old man having seven wives. Scares them, using bad words to them. And then they are glorifying him for lifting Govardhan. And Nanda Baba is going on telling one after another things. And then the gopas start laughing and laughing and laughing. It is explained that they all gopas fall on the ground. They start rolling in the ground, holding their stomach and laughing and laughing and laughing. This Krishna is demigod, is Mahatma, is Rishi. No, he is our Krishna. So this is bewildering. Huh? What is bewildering is the same Lord is doing heroic activities and the same Lord is doing such activities which are inconceivable. So she is explaining that. For example, when Krishna kicked Shakatasura on the right side, on the spoke, and the whole Shakatasura, whole the cart came down, thrashing on the ground, making tumultuous sound, right? And Krishna was simply enjoying. And all the coward men and coward women, they were scared. Said, bad omen, please call the, please bring the calves and touch the tail of the hair of the calf to the all bodies of Krishna. Chant mantras, call Brahmins, let them perform Agnihotra. So at one time, at one same time, Krishna is enjoying peace and happiness of being content within himself, and all his kinsmen are put into bewilderment of ignorance that there is some bad omen. And they are performing all the Agnihotras and chanting slokas and touching Krishna with the tail and chanting mantras in various parts of bodies. And this is seen regularly. When Krishna sucked the breast of Putana and Putana was destroyed, what was his feeling? He was very happy. He was still sucking and sucking and sucking on the mountain of the breast of Putana. And all the cowherd ladies were so much scared. They were scared to death. My God! 12 miles long demoness, and a small baby is on the mountain of one of the breast, so much in danger of life. And they are all not even daring to go inside. Somehow somebody went and picked him, Krishna, up from the breast of Putana. Another occasion, gopis told Krishna that we want to see you dancing in a very unique way. So Krishna said that I will show them such a dance that they have never seen before in life, never heard also. So he jumped in Jamuna to subdue Kaliya. Have you ever heard any incarnation, any form of the Lord, any time dancing on the hoods of a snake? And at the same time, they are served as thunderbolt with each step to the each head of Kaliya. And they are at the same time so graceful and so soft and so rose petal like and so lotus petal like, so soft. And their steps are so gentle and so beautiful that gopis are simply enamored looking at the beautiful dance of Krishna. Some gopis are scared to death that he is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, the poisonous snake. Look at the poison coming out and the flames and fire is coming out. And some gopis are remembering, yes, we had asked him to dance nicely. So now he is showing us. Huh? Is it not bewildering? At one point scaring, at one point bewildering, at one point so much joy. And at the same time, there are demigods in the sky. They also appeared in the sky. Yakshas, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, all those celestial demigod castes, you know, were very expert in Sangeet, in dancing, in singing, in playing instruments, in doing so many wonderful artistic activities. They all gathered in the sky and they were trying to catch the taal of Krishna in which he was dancing. And with greatest of their best of efforts, they could not catch the taal in which Krishna was dancing. They were trying to assist him with giving some music from skies. But it was like a total mismatch, you know. Kartal somewhere, mudanga somewhere, dance somewhere and taal somewhere. That was the position. Such a extraordinary, beautiful, unexplainable, inconceivable dance was taking place. At the same time, Kaliya was losing his all poison from each hood and getting humble. At the same time, the most pride, proud and most envious snake was being subdued by Krishna. At the same time, he was amusing the gopis and all demigods in the sky. At the same time, most gracious and most soft and most beautiful, at the same time, like thunderbolt serving to Kaliya. This can only happen with Krishna and nobody else. So this is bewildering. What Kunti Devi is telling, your activity is as a common human being. He comes as Manushya. He comes as an ordinary human being. When he comes as an ordinary human being, his activities are very bewildering. He is bound by the ropes of Yashoda to the mortar, and suddenly two demigods appear from the trees. This is only heard in Krishna's pastimes. So she is saying, they are not activities, they are chikirshidam. They are pastimes. And they are not ordinary pastimes, they are divine pastimes. Simply by hearing, even by getting bewildered by hearing them, you are getting purified. Don't think like that. Even by questioning in the mind, how is this possible? Is he a demigod? Is he a Mahatma? Is he a Rishi? Is he a Siddha? All the coward men are also making spiritual progress. Such powerful are the pastimes of Krishna. So Kunti Devi is mentioning in this verse that your pastimes are very misleading and very bewildering. Only when Krishna decides to reveal the intricacies and confidential aspects of his pastimes are we able to understand the intricacies of his pastimes. Till he himself decides to reveal the confidential aspects of his pastimes, they are hidden from everybody's eyes and brain. So let us pray to Krishna that if you desire so, please explain to us your pastimes. Please reveal to us. It's only by his mercy the wonderful activities of Krishna, wonderful pastimes of Krishna will be revealed in our hearts. And for those activities to be revealing in the heart, prayers are very important. They will not happen by chance. They will not happen by its own. Prayers are very important. Without offering prayers, our devotional service is not complete. We must learn to offer prayers in a very systematic way. We must study the prayers offered by acharyas, by great devotees in Bhagavatam and others, and learn the science of offering prayers. Even though we are expert, we become expert in chanting and hearing, still we should learn to offer prayers. Because one of the most important aspects of Navada Bhakti is offering prayers. That makes our devotional life very rich, very deep, and very meaningful for Krishna's attraction. Hare Krishna. Shrimati Kunti Maharani ki jai. Thank you very much. So I don't know whether there is time for questions or not. I'm sorry for overshooting. I am okay now also, but whatever your timetable is, I am trying to. At 1:15, right? Yeah. Here only it is going to be there. Okay. Kunti Maharani ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we thank His Grace Vishwarup Prabhuji for kindly allowing us to participate in such a wonderful pastimes and also understand the glimpse of Kunti Maharani's prayerful mood.